The stretch by Mars in the pitch. Swung on and hit the right field. That's way back there. Way back there. Hold on! Tucker's win! Tucker's win!
I get asked all the time, how are you going to do it? Okay, it's LSU, okay? Expectations, all of those types of things. That's why I came here. You stare challenges in the face and you go do it.
Before I get to today's interview with new LSU head baseball coach Jay Johnson, I want to give you a little behind the scenes insight on what Jay is like and how he works. So the story here is that Jay was supposed to fly in on Sunday, do his tour that evening, press conferences Monday, fly out Tuesday back to Arizona, get his things settled. That's not enough time for Jay Johnson to work. So Jay Johnson flew in a day early, and he's now staying for the entire week because that's what he wants to do. Get to work. Of course, at some point, he's going to have to go back to Arizona, get his things, move him here to Baton Rouge. But I don't know. He might just end up leaving everything there because there's work to be done and he wants to do it. We put Jay through the media ringer on Monday with the press conference in the afternoon. Before that, he did the media car wash with the internal media. He did a great interview with Emily Dixon that you can watch now on YouTube. You can watch this interview on YouTube eventually. Wanted to put it out on audio first. But the point is, Jay was great. He nailed his press conference. I think the fans loved it. If you're listening to this, you probably listened to that, and I'm guessing you enjoyed it. And I could just tell, as good as he was at it, he'd rather be back in his office on the phone, calling players, calling recruits, calling potential coaches for his staff, and building a championship legacy, because that's what he inherits here at LSU. That's what Skip Bertman built. That's what Paul Mainieri carried on. It's what he wants to build on, too. There was a story, I think, in The Advocate that was just this great anecdote about how he wants to win multiple College World Series championships so he can prove that the first one wasn't a fluke. That's the kind of competitor he is. It's the kind of coach he is. And that's the kind of coach that LSU baseball has now here in Baton Rouge leading the program. Couldn't be more excited to have this interview for you today. Had a great conversation with Coach Johnson. We go over everything from recruiting Chris Bryant, mental skills that he tries to teach his players, his offensive philosophy, his history, getting into coaching, and his plans, of course, for LSU baseball. So without further ado, let me throw it to my interview with your new LSU head baseball coach, Jay Johnson. My pleasure to sit down for a few minutes with the newest LSU baseball coach, Jay Johnson. Coach Johnson, welcome. It's been good getting to know you. Glad to get a few minutes of your time this morning.
Cody, thank you. It's awesome to be here with you.
Yeah, super exciting. So I want to go back to the very beginning. Tell me about your hometown in California. And there was a great story that I read about how I think you had a quote that your hometown was the foundation of who you are. What did you learn there growing up that you've taken with you throughout your life?
Yeah, it all started in my house. My dad was a legendary football and track coach, and I've grown up in an environment where all I've known is athletics and winning and what it takes to win and how to treat people and those types of things. My mom, incredibly hard worker. My brother, incredibly hard worker, very blue-collar town. So it was really all about work ethic, and that's always been the foundation of who I am and what I want our program to be about.
So I grew up the son of two coaches, and I always am intrigued by other people who were raised by a coach or coaches. What do you think is different about being raised by a coach and how it shapes you and influences you, regardless of if you end up being a coach? How does it shape you?
Yes, I think my dad was a tremendous person relative to hard work, trustworthiness, honesty, all of those kinds of things, and how to treat people, helping people make sure they understand their value, how important they are to the success of the team and the program and all of those things. And those are all really high expectations. And so if I had to sum it up into something, it would be learning how to operate in a way where you can work to and meet high expectations.
What are your first baseball memories? I know you were a four-sport athlete, I guess, in high school. How quickly were you into baseball?
You know, sneak goal of mine was always to try to win the Heisman Trophy one day. And I was a pretty good 5'7", 165-pound running back in high school. But I looked around the Pac-12, the Big 12, the SEC, and I didn't see too many of,
those guys running around. Were you a speed guy or a power guy?
Definitely speed.
Okay, there you
go. So with that being said, I turned my attention to baseball as it was maybe a little more realistic path. I didn't think playing in the major leagues was something that was ever realistic, but Omaha potentially was.
Yeah.
And so I kind of set my goal on that. Never got that opportunity as a player, but have as a coach. And so in a way, that's a dream that's been realized and one that I'm excited to go for and attack a bunch of times at LSU.
So I think a lot of kids that grew up in the area around here like me, like Omaha, is you have very, very early memories of Omaha. Like one of my first memories is Warren Morris hitting the ball over the right field fence and about to go on vacation with my family, and like we all get out of the car and celebrate. What are your first memories of Omaha?
Yeah, I believe probably the ones that are the most vivid is watching the 1986 College World Series, and Arizona won that, ironically. And then the two that stand out for me, and it was as I was a little bit older, a little bit more aware, is I remember exactly where I was sitting when Warren Morris hit the home run against Miami.
Where were you?
I was just in an apartment waiting for a summer ball game with a couple of my buddies. Like, how can you believe that just happened?
Yeah.
And then I remember in 2000 with the walk-off against Stanford, you know, and to come back in the ninth inning. And it was just amazing, you know, to see Coach Burtman's teams always seem to have that late-inning magic, you know, and overcome odds and come from behind in dramatic fashion time after time and after time. And honestly, you know, in terms of growing up and in the 90s and watching the College World Series, most of my memories are geared around watching LSU.
Yeah, they were there a bunch. Skip's right, literally right over your shoulder right now from where I'm looking. I know you got to meet him yesterday. What have those conversations been like?
Amazing. And I called him as soon as I was hired. It was the first thing I did. It was talk to Skip and talk to Paul. And as I called him, it's like, wow, I'm putting Skip Burtman's phone number in my phone right now. So it was a pretty cool moment. And then having dinner with him last night and his ability to communicate and his ability to be enthusiastic about talking about our program and baseball and what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. It was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I was trying to fish for some details from your wife, Maureen, and she was like, I don't know, he's pretty boring. He's all about baseball, which is kind of what I picked up doing some research, which is great. But when you finish your career at Point Loma, and you're trying to decide the next step, had you already decided, like, I'm going into coaching and I'm just going to figure out a path to get into that? Or how did that sort of process go from you finish your career playing and then you get into coaching?
Yeah, it was pretty immediate. I didn't feel like I was done. I felt like college athletics was what I wanted to throw myself into. And I did. And in throwing and going in 100% on this is what I want to do. You know, obviously wasn't a good enough player to make it and play at a program that could go to the College World Series. Coaching was what I wanted to do. And so I had this note on my office, on my computer at Point Loma. The NAIA World Series at the time was in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And it was excellence today, win tomorrow, Idaho on Memorial Day. That's when that World Series started. And then Omaha someday.
Wow.
And I put that on there as just a daily reminder of what we were trying to do and where we were trying to go. And that was a great opportunity. I was really thrown into the fire at 23, 24 years old of having to do recruiting, coach third base, make game decisions, all of those types of things. And it really allowed me to learn and grow and succeed and fail and really have to get outside myself and learn how the best people do things. Mm-hmm. And then trial by fire, education, and really every minute of my adult life has been, how can we make the programs I've been a part of the best that they possibly can be?
To write that down, are you a big believer in kind of putting your dreams and your goals out there and putting them on paper or on a whiteboard or whatever? Is that important to you?
I think it does create some accountability to yourself. So I've always done that. However, what I've probably learned more than anything else, and the most important thing is, you know, everybody wants to go to Omaha. Everybody wants to win a national championship. Everybody wants, in terms of our players, to walk on the field and play at Yankee Stadium someday as a major league player. But the secret is, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. And putting all the effort, energy, time, focus to put all the pieces together for the program in terms of recruiting, in terms of developing, in terms of focusing on what is important right now that's going to lead to those things. And then you have to repeat it.
Yeah.
Because once yesterday is over, it's over. And just try to be consistent and not focus on where you want to go, but what does it take to get there?
Yeah.
And then being completely invested in what it takes.
So you obviously have a very thorough coaching philosophy that you've fleshed out over time. And you talked about getting your start at Point Loma. What was your big break? Like, how did you go from being at the NAI level, where a lot of guys get their start? And a lot of guys could spend their entire careers, and I bet you could have too. I've seen the pictures of campus. It's easy on the eyes, and I'm sure it was easy to live there. But what was your break and sort of into Division One and getting the chance to go from where you were to maybe Omaha one day?
It's a great question, and honestly, it was one of the toughest decisions of my career. Is I was a head coach at 27 years old. I loved being a head coach. I loved my alma mater, and I got a call from Rich Hill at the University of San Diego, who's become one of the most important people in my life, and said, hey, I want you to come over here and be an assistant coach of mine. And it basically became an understanding that if I ever want to be a Division I head coach at a program that could go to the College World Series time and time again, I had to make this move. I didn't necessarily want to do it,
mm-hmm.
but I took the risk to do it, and it completely changed my life. And that time at San Diego was really important in my development and really, really prepared me to be a head coach at all the stops along the way.
So one of the highlights of your time at San Diego is how well you recruited there. And the biggest name there is Chris Bryant, who, as a guy that grew up as a Cubs fan, it's pretty cool. What was it like recruiting him? And then, you know, one of the things that, as I was researching, there was a story about how you worked with him on his stance and his approach, too. And I've actually got the quote here. He said, I'm going to read it. The biggest thing he's taught me is about being in the moment. I knew I had the tools to succeed, at least physically. I don't know I had it in my head to succeed. He's worked with me on going up there with a clear mind and being able to hit your pitch. And the question I've written down here, is that something you worked out specifically for him, that approach? And I guess it would be a two-part question. Would be just, one, recruiting him, seeing the talent at a young age, working with him on, you know, both the physical part of hitting, hey, get lower in your stance, but also that mental part that he touched on. So just your memories of him at that age, and then that approach that you worked with him, is that something that's a template that you can apply to different players, or is that you got to be specific with each guy?
Yes, Chris is special, and maybe even a once-in-a-lifetime coaching, you know, the talent that you get to coach. And I'm sure that Coach O feels the same way about Joe Burrow and what he did here. But with Chris, you could see it right away in terms of the ridiculous talent, ability. Any coach in the country could have walked in there and watched a high school game when he was a sophomore and go, that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So how'd you get him to San Diego?
Was on it early and on it fast and hustled, to be honest with you. And the other things that make him special are he's incredibly intelligent. You know, was a 4.6 student in high school. I don't even know how you do that.
No, it's possible.
And then as a person, he's everything you want any player to be, whether it's the first player on the team, which that's who he was, or the 35th player. And so him having such a good foundation of those three things really made it easy to take the steps in terms of the baseball development, because you knew what you were getting every single day. He was going to be successful no matter what we did. I mean, he was a freshman All-American, hitting 10 or 11 home runs without us doing much in terms of the physical stuff. But as I got to know him better, we had a series at Vanderbilt, actually, that we won 2 out of 3 early in his sophomore year that he didn't necessarily have a great weekend. And it was against elite pitching. So we moved him down for a couple reasons, to get his eyes closer to the strike zone, being a tall guy, 6'5", giving him a little more natural path to be in the zone longer and stay behind balls more. And then all of a sudden the power to center field and right field really started to take shape. So it opened up his talent to the right part of the strike zone. It opened up his talent to all parts of the field. And then from there he was willing to put in the work, had the self-discipline, the mental discipline, for all of that to come to fruition. And now you're looking at one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
That mental approach that he touched on, being in the moment, having a clear mind, is that something you're a big proponent in, regardless of who it is?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of important jobs of a coach. In baseball, I think managing and helping your players improve their mindset to be able to focus on the task at hand is probably the best value I can create for myself for them. And so there's a lot of ways that you have to do that in a game that is built around failure, you know, built around frustration sometimes. The ability to stay in the moment and focus on the task at hand and do that with a clear mind allows you your best chance at success. So that will be a big part of our program and how we develop players here.
Is that something you can drill? You know, you can go out there and you can throw BP and you can work with guys. Is that something you have to kind of take a different approach with every guy? How do you sort of develop that in an athlete, especially if that's not something they focused on extensively before?
Yeah, I think it's the part of baseball that's the most important, that maybe is the least talked about or the least work on. And you think about mental skills training.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the middle word of that is skill. Yeah. And to develop any type of skill, it takes repetition. It takes practice. It takes deliberate practice. And so with all of those types of things, it will be a huge component of our program. You know, learning how to deal with success, learning how to deal with failure, really creating a model where the player can play the game one pitch at a time with a clear mind to attack the task at hand allows their physical talent or the reason they were recruited to LSU to be on display consistently. And the difference between the elite teams, the elite players, and everybody else is consistency. And I think that is entirely wrapped up between the ears. In the SEC, everybody is going to have good players. The separator is that talent becoming usable skill on a consistent basis.
So I think maybe this came to mind, this isn't in my notes, but I was reading at some point, and maybe it was when you were in Omaha and you had your team literally visualizing before the game. Is that something y'all are big into? What does your practice look like?
Yeah, it's answering the first question first, I think it depends on the team, the player, the situation. I think wanting them to see it before they do it does a couple things. It triggers the feelings and the emotions and the mental space of where you need to be at that time is right here and right now. And I think some self-confidence can be developed that way. And so we have some exercises that we walk through mentally to help them do those types of things. And in terms of the preparation for the game, there's certainly the physical side of it, which we're going to be elite at that, and the fundamentals and work ethic and having a plan for a player to go from A to Z or 1 to 10, that takes time, that you have to put the right work in for that to happen. If you do that with the right mindset, then it is going to happen. And then the player, the coach, the program, the fans, LSU will see everything they want to see in individual players and the team.
So one of the things that really stood out in the research is the instant impact you've had everywhere you've gone. I've got the numbers here. At Nevada, you went from 25 to 31 wins to 41 wins. So you inherited a 25-win team, 31 in year one, 41 in year two, win the conference that year. Then Arizona, 31 wins to 49 wins in that first year, and then obviously the College World Series finals. What's the key to making that quick of an impact? Because I know our fans are going to be wanting that kind of impact pretty quickly here. What's the key to stepping in year one and being able to turn things around and maximize a team's potential like that?
I think that's a great question. I think it's different at every place, but I think you have to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through a lot of this stuff, this part of it's obviously exciting and a great day for me and personally. And I find myself, all I want to do is get in the office, get on the phone, watch video, all of those types of things.
And we keep sticking you in front of cameras.
I love it. I love it. But I think it's hitting the ground running is the first component.
Yeah.
And getting everybody what I would call in alignment with what the vision and the goals are. We had a very productive Zoom team meeting on Friday morning and really wanted to set just a couple things of foundation of what this is going to look like. I spent the last couple days on the phone with players, with the team, relative to logistical things, and then have been able to get into some things for their development specifically so they can utilize, you know, the rest of July, essentially now the first part of August well, and we'll get moving the first day of school and try to create value in each day so that come February, we're the most prepared team in America for game one. And then we've also left room for improvement on a daily basis throughout the season. So I think it's mindset, first of all. I think it's work ethic, number two. But the third and most important part of that is buy-in. And I believe that nobody can waste time just kind of seeing how it's going to go. The players are and the staff and LSU is going to get everything that I have. And I demand that in return out of everybody else that's going to be a part of our organization.
So one of the other things that stood out in the research is just all your teams hit. At Arizona, it's like top five, you know, in the country every year in all the major hitting categories. What drew you as a coach into that aspect of the game? Some guys go the pitching route. Some guys are more defensive minded. What about hitting appeal to you, and how have you sort of, you know, taught yourself and then been able to pass it along to your players, the craft and the art of hitting?
Yeah, great question. I've always been drawn to offense. Like I said, I was a pretty good high school running back.
Yeah.
My dad was a good football coach. I like teams that scored points in football.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going way back, that's probably I like to score touchdowns.
Sure.
I mean, that was part of the deal. But then when I left Point Loma as the head coach to be an assistant coach, my responsibility was the hitting in the offense.
Yep.
And it was a great training ground to be able to go in and recruiting and to go in and focus on those two areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was essentially in what I would call a laboratory for a few years of that's where I got to spend my time. And as an assistant coach, this is how it goes. You want your area to be the best part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so really getting the opportunity to dive in, to learn, to figure it out, to develop a competitive mindset with the right fundamentals. It's just something that I really was drawn to, had a passion for, and really has taken off over, you know, the 20 years or 21 years that I've been coaching college baseball, and has been a big part of our success, will be a big part of our success. And it's one of the things that drew me here and thinking about the Gorilla Ball era of Tiger baseball in the 90s, winning those championships, where I think we can bring some similar aspects to those types of teams and create a blueprint for success that was here a while ago and get the right players in here and potentially do some of those kinds of things again.
So you talked about being an assistant coach and being in that laboratory. One of the goals with this podcast was really for me to steal ideas from the people I talk to and figure out how I can apply them to my life. Who are the coaches that you started stealing from at that time and sort of incorporating what they were doing into what you do?
Yeah, there's been a number of that have had a huge impact on me. Scott Sarver was my college coach that hired me immediately after I got done playing and said, you're going out to third base, you're doing a recruiting, go.
Yeah.
You're going to fail at times. I'm going to let you do that. You're going to learn from it. He's somebody that I lean on a consistent basis. He has a great baseball mind. Rich Hill at the University of San Diego, one of the most important people in my life outside of my dad. He gave me the opportunity at San Diego. We talk coaching all the time. I think he really helped me have a foundation to know how to be a head coach at the Division I level before I was a Division I head coach. And I think that had a lot to do with the success at both of my previous stops. And then I really studied coaches across the board in all sports that are the best at what they do. There's a prominent football coach in the SEC that I don't think we use his name around here, so I'm not
going to... No idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not going to use his name, but I pay attention to that program and how they do things.
Sure.
Bill Belichick with the Patriots are two people that I look at. I would want somebody that really knows what it should look like to watch an LSU baseball practice and say, that looks like the New England Patriots.
Yeah. That's great. Speaking of Heisman trophies, there's one over there in football ops. If you hadn't seen it yet, I know you're going to get lunch in the nutrition center, so you might be able to finally get up close and personal with that Heisman trophy that you wanted as a high schooler.
Yeah, sounds good. I actually, funny story, a couple years ago, we were at in South Carolina for Christmas and drove down and watched the Peach Bowl. And,
okay.
And LSU scored like 50 points in like 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was... It was very entertaining.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll score a bunch of points too, and your teams will be scoring a bunch of runs. Just wanted to end with this one, Coach. You got the tour of the box. I know Paul was showing you around town a little bit yesterday. You got to talk with Skip, but you talked about hitting the ground running. What are first priorities? We get done with this. You do your press conference this afternoon. You're done with all the lights and cameras and stuff, and it's time to get to work, which I know you've already started doing. But what are first priorities?
Yeah, I think the roster management for this next year, there's some dates with July 1st and the transfer portal and giving kids the right opportunity and honesty. And when you're taking over a program, you have to work through some of those types of things. So I'm in the middle of that. And like I said, starting to create a foundation with our team that they know that we mean business, we're going to get to work, and there's going to be a lot required. I mean, if you want to achieve a lot, there's a lot required. It takes what it takes. So starting to set some of that foundation, it's a little different in baseball because a lot of them are out doing their own thing during the summer and playing. So the roster, really getting into recruiting and trying to get some guys down here so we make sure we have the types of players that can have the success that everybody wants to have. And then assembling a staff. And I'm being very deliberate in how I choose to go about that because the players deserve at LSU the best in the country.
For sure.
And so we're going to work really hard to put the right people and the right staff in place so the players can have an opportunity to have the most success they can.
Last one for you. We were just over in your office. It's pretty bare in there. What are the first few things you're bringing in there to decorate the place?
My thoughts don't go there. My thoughts are into the work. And I don't think anybody brought me here to be an interior decorator.
Sure.
So I'll leave that to people that are a lot more qualified than me for that.
Totally understand. If you need any input, I'm happy to give my advice, but I'm probably not the guy to ask those questions. All right, Coach, appreciate your time. I know you got other stuff to do and plenty of work to do, and you want to hit the ground running. So we'll let you get to it, but appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks, Cody.
Thank you.